Good to be here this morning. No better place in town. Two people agree. I'm kidding. I am just kidding. It is a wonderful spring day, isn't it? This morning I woke up, I looked through the window, and there was white stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, what? Oh, Canada. Our beautiful country of freedom and white stuff. Okay, let me just do something here. Well, I think God is calling. Someone going to pick that up? I'm just a little nervous, so I just, you know, when you're nervous, you start making jokes. But today's a good day because I have news to share with you this morning. Some of you have heard, some of you haven't. Then my wife and I are expecting a third child in 2018. Thank you. When I started off this year, I had a couple of sermons on the best is yet to come. And certainly for us, the best is yet to come. We're excited about that. Then I thought about a creative way to share with you a gender of the baby. Because we just had this past week, we actually went and we found out what we're having. So, you know, I kind of went through this week. There's a lot that happened. So I wasn't really creative. I thought about maybe bringing my boys up to, you know, open up their shirts so they, you know, there's something on their shirts that will say what it is. But long story short, I'll just tell you what we're having. My wife and I were expecting and praying for the girl. And finally, God is going to bless us with another boy. Okay. It is the boy number 3, Mr. Nikolic. You know, Wednesday was, it was an emotional day for us. But we're grateful and thankful. God is a good God. He's we were praying about this and hoping that it was going to be a girl. And we were a little bit disappointed, of course. Who wouldn't be? But we're so excited for the future that God has in store for us. And the two boys that we have right now are a blessing. And I'm just grateful to be a parent, you know. It's the best thing in the world. And I said, God, just give me whatever I can handle. And I don't know, my wife will attest that I've been handling our boys pretty well. She's been doing all the job and I've been taking all the credit. Well, parenting stuff, you know. But, you know, I really believe that God is giving us another blessing. And I see it this way. I'm raising up the warriors for the kingdom of God. And I was just talking to Mitch after the first service, a young guy who's actually, his wife is going to have a baby next week, I think. And they're having another girl. And we just talked about, shared a couple of words, you know. I said, you know what? It's like a calling that God is giving. God gives you a calling and you just got to follow. And my calling is to raise the boys for now, at least. And his calling is to raise the girls. And it all comes together and works together for the glory of God. Amen? Yeah. So that is a joy in our hearts that we have, and we're really looking forward to it in September. I'm not sure the date is. I think the 22nd of September. I think our boys have... were late, honey, or early? I'm not sure. But sometimes in September, we're back to the diaper stage, so we're looking forward to that. It's going to be awesome. Some of you are laughing because you know how that is. Well, you know, so far 2018 has been a good year. There's been a lot of good stuff, but then a lot of bad stuff. And today I had something else prepared that I wanted to share with you, but I felt this past week, actually over the past couple of weeks, there's a lot of stuff that have happened that really stirred in my heart to share a message with you today about what to do on the worst day of your life. Or how to step up on the worst day of your life. How to step up when you feel discouraged, when you feel down, when you feel sad. You know, it's not too far away, especially lately. It's been too close to home. You just open up the news and the social media. And if you really want to be discouraged and you really got to get depressed, you can pull out your phone and go on social media and news channels, and you'll see what's happening in the world. Just over the past couple of weeks, you've probably heard there was a bus that crashed. There's a whole bunch of young people that have died. Then just in Toronto, what happened last week with a lot of people dying, innocent people dying. But then we just found out recently about our sister church, Koinonia. There was a young guy that drowned. He was only 19 on a missions trip. And then you've got all these things happening. And you're going through this, and it's really easy to look at things happening to us and just get discouraged. Yeah. It's really easy to get discouraged, and it's really easy to stay in that state too and be discouraged and get mad and get angry and get upset. And those are all good things, but we don't stay there. We are thankful for the hope that we have in Christ, the hope of glory, that one day we're going to meet him face to face, and we're going to be with him where there's no sin, there's no pain, there's no suffering. Amen? I'm looking forward to that day. And these, some of the events that I just mentioned, were too close to home. And, you know, just having two boys and having another one on the way, I don't know how I would react if those were my children. And God forbid, I hope and pray that never happens to us. But, you know, we go through life, and we have unexpected things happen to us. We have unexpected events, unmet expectations. We have discouragements. We have accidents, tragedies, someone close to us passing on. You know, and there is no guarantee that you will go through this life and that you will not face hard situations, especially if you're a Christian. Some people think that, you know, when you become a Christian, everything just becomes easy and your life is perfect. No, it gets even harder. And it's just how you deal with it. You have God on your side, and you can have strength that comes from Jesus. But, you know, when all those things, all the bad things happen, how do we react to those? And did you ever have a bad day in your life? Could you think of, just look back at your life and look some of the things that have happened to you? Maybe point out the worst days from the bad days. And we all have bad days. And sometimes we have really, really, really bad days, right? And I wish that we were honest with each other sometimes. I wish that when people would ask us, hey, how's your day? That we would be honest and we would say, terrible. I'm sad. I'm anxious. I'm actually struggling. I wish we were sad. But sometimes we do it not because we want to do it, but we do it out of our, we're used to it. We're used to just saying, when people ask us, how are you doing? Just, oh, I'm good. I'm fine. We had a gentleman this past Wednesday share on our Wednesday service. He said, when someone tells you they're fine, they're everything else but fine. And this past week, I was just praying that God would send someone honest my path. And there was this young lady from our church just at the door. I was just greeting her. And I said, how's your week? She just looked at me and she said, terrible. I'm like, yes! Someone honest! Some honesty in this house. I know that we don't do it on purpose, and we're so used to saying we're good and everything is great, but deep down, we know that a lot of people are struggling. A lot of people are going through difficult things. And I know some of you, even sitting here, and I've been talking to a lot of people in our church, difficult situations, difficult circumstances, things that are happening, sickness and diagnosis and stuff like that. But that's why we're here together as a family, to encourage each other. Amen? So what do you do on the worst day of your life? How do you step it up? And here's one statement I want to leave with you. If there's anything that you remember, I'd like you to remember this. On the worst day of your life, Jesus is going to be your best friend. On the worst day of your life, Jesus will be your best friend. I want to share a story with you, a story of David. When David had a bad day, a really bad day in his life. Personally, there's a couple of events that happened in my own life that were really bad. Maybe top five. One of the worst days of my life was when I received a phone call from my brother from Serbia saying that our mother has passed away suddenly. And that was probably one of the worst days of my life. And I'm sure some of you can relate, losing a close one, close relative or mother or father or brother or sister or cousin or a friend. And I remember that whole day I was just, I was crying, I was worshiping, I was just trying to encourage myself in the Lord. And that was personally my story of coping with that and going through that. But David here, King David, who actually, who I got my name from, my wife told me that, my amazing wife, my mother told me when I was young that we named you after the guy in the Bible. I knew that. And then she said, we named you that because we wanted you to be an anointed leader of God, God's people. I wasn't planning on crying, sorry. I know and I believe that my mom prayed over my life for so many years that I will be an anointed worship leader one day. And wow, was she ever right? God is using me in that area, really. But I sort of relate with David in so many levels. You know, when I was little, hearing the stories about David, and the most common one is a giant that he conquered, and when he was taking care of the sheep, and he killed a lion, a lot of stuff have happened in his life. And I heard all those stories, but then growing up in a church, that's all I knew about David. But then I came down to, when I really started reading the Bible for myself, I came across a story that really is a powerful story just before David becomes a king. Just to give you a little bit of background, David was a young teenager who was out tending sheep. And he was just the youngest in the family out of so many brothers. And God was not happy with the way Saul was leading the nation of Israel. And he told him that, he told a prophet Samuel to go into the house of Jesse to appoint a new leader. He's going to be out of this house. And little did they know that David wasn't even invited to the party. He wasn't even considered to be a successor. He wasn't even the part of the picture. Jesse had all his sons there, and Samuel came, and he said, don't you have another son? And he did say, yes, we have another son. He is out tending sheep. And he said, bring him over. And David was anointed to be a king right at a young age. But then David had to go through a lot of difficulties. He had to go through a lot of things to get where God has called him to be. And just before he became a king, there was a lot of stuff that happened. A lot of people came on his side, and he was a warrior. He had a lot of strong men with him. They were going into battles and conquering the cities and conquering different territories. And they stationed themselves in this city called Ziklag. And Saul was in pursuit after David because he was jealous, and all the things were happening in David's life. He had wives and children. And David then, just before Saul dies, there's a chapter. Something happens to David that completely changes the course of his life. And here in this story, this is what we're going to read in a second. Here in this story, we see some great lessons that we can learn, some principles that we can apply in our own life of what to do when a tragedy or disappointment or something bad happens to us. So let's just read this 1 Samuel 30. I did have a little bit of fill-in sheet just outside. If you want to grab it, you can do that. But here's, the verses are there as well. But let's just read this. So 1 Samuel 30, this is what it says. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites, who were their enemies, had invaded the south in Ziklag, and they attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken captive the woman and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives can't really pronounce their names. They've been taken captive. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, who was the only priest that was left, Amalek's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall swear. Yes. I'm just looking at my chapter. Where am I? He answered me, pursue, for you surely overtake them without fail, recover all. And I want to stop here. If you read the story on, you'll see that David has gone into the battle and he's recovered everything that has been lost. All of his belongings, his family, everything has been given back to him. But in these moments, we can see at the story and we can see that this is probably one of the worst days in David's life. He shows up to his city expecting to see his wife and his kids, and he shows up and everything is burned down. His house, his belongings are gone. His family is gone. And naturally, the first thing, the four lessons that I want to share with you this morning, naturally what they did is they cried. The first thing that they did is they cried. You know, with dependence upon God in our own life, we have to allow the emotions of our heart to reflect our pain. Yes. It's okay to cry. It's okay to let things go. It's okay to let the emotions to come out. In our culture today, a lot of people will say that the crying is a sign of weakness. And some of us have been brought up as young men, mostly men, and we've been told that it's not okay to cry. You can't cry. You gotta suck it up. You gotta be strong. Don't let things go. Don't let anybody see you cry. And that is a pure lie from the enemy. It is a pure lie from the enemy. We are to let things go. We are to let. Now, I know that the most people that struggle with this is this group of people that are called men. Because you can have women, you can have put three women in a room, and they can have a crying party. Crying parties are actually popular if you Google it. But men have a hard time crying and letting things come out because they've been told they can't cry. The first thing when trouble hits you so hard that it knocks the wind out of you, you should just let it go, just let it out. You see, this picture here in the Bible, we see these warriors, these gangsters, these mighty men of God. They were conquering cities after cities. And just imagine the strongest person that you can imagine, the biggest buff that you can ever imagine. And imagine that person crying. These people were warriors. And what was the first thing that they did? They just let everything out. And the Bible tells us they cried so much until they couldn't cry anymore. That's some serious crying from the warriors, the strong, courageous warriors. Wow. If you look at the scriptures in the New Testament, you'll see that Jesus himself cried. God himself cried to show us that it's okay to cry. He came to the tomb of Lazarus, who passed on, and he saw everyone crying. And even though he knew what was going to happen, even though he knew that he was going to do a miracle, he still cried. He still let things out. He still cried with those that cried, mourned with those that were mourning, to show them that it's okay to let things go. It's okay to let things out. Thinking about my own life, and I wasn't planning to cry today, but you know, the more I'm maturing and growing, even in the Lord, in my walk with God, I'm more of an emotional, becoming an emotional man, which I think my wife will enjoy a lot. But you know, It's okay to cry. It's okay to let things go. The second lesson that I learned from this text is this. Don't get bitter. Because, you know, when we focus on that negative report, and when we focus on the bad news and the tragedy and accident, and when those bad news come to us, it's easy. The enemy is going to try to discourage us. He's going to try to tell us that we are to get bitter at people and at God. It says in the scripture here that David was greatly distressed. And many times when we have something hard hit us, we tend to isolate ourselves too. We tend not to talk to people. We tend to just be in our little bubble. I know a lot of people that are bitter, and they don't even go to church anymore. They're mad at God because something has happened in their life. They're mad at people, and we sometimes get into the blaming game. When bad things happen to us, we get into the blaming game and say, well, it's his fault, or it's her fault, or he did this or she did this, and if only he didn't do this, I wouldn't be bitter. As far as people go to say that because of this and because of that, we're going to blame God. If there's nobody else to blame, we're going to blame God for this. Which is the most ridiculous thing that people can do. Blame God for bad things that happen. Because bad things do happen to good people as well. But the hope of glory that we have in Christ is greater than anything bad that can happen to us. Amen? It is greater than any tragedy. It's greater than any accident. Because one day we're going to meet him face to face. There's going to be no pain, no suffering. Again, we see a contrast here between the warriors and David. The story that we just read. They were crying so much they couldn't cry anymore. And then they decided to turn on David. And they decided to get bitter and blame David for what has happened to them. David, as a leader, was completely alone, completely discouraged because they were blaming him. They were actually going to stone him. They thought it was all his fault. But then David did not get on that side of bitterness and get bitter. He got better, and this is how he got better. You can either get bitter or better. He got better by principle number 3 that we can learn from this. Lesson number 3. He strengthened, verse 6 says this, for David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Yes. Another translation will say, David encouraged himself in God. When everybody turned against him, when things were falling apart, everything was gone, he had nothing left, he turned himself towards God. He embraced the closeness of God, he embraced the goodness of God, he embraced God's opinion of him instead of opinion of everybody else that's around him. He embraced the promises of God, the truths of God. And if you see some of the greatest psalms in the scripture, if you read the book of Psalms, you'll see David's heart. Some of the stuff that he has written are so deep and profound. And I really believe that he's written those things when he was at great distress. From Psalm 23 to 91 to many other in between. I could just look. Imagine David taking his harp and just playing and worshiping the Lord in his darkness, in his dark moments, singing the songs of praise to God. And he probably didn't feel like singing, but he did sing and he did praise God. And sometimes in our life, the praise will conquer every fear, will take down every discouragement, disappointment, the praise that we offer to God. I really believe that's the first step for us to start praising God and start declaring that God is good. And in Psalm 34, it says that I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. This is David writing the psalm. And I really believe that this is the one that will really solve those deep soul issues that we can have in our own life when bad things happen, when bad days come, is us being able to encourage ourselves in God, spend time in God's presence, be with him, and let God take that burden off of us and give us peace that only He can give. Reality is many people don't quite know how to encourage themselves in God. For me personally, I listen to a lot of worship music. And I spend a lot of time personally with God. But I remember just 2 weeks ago when I turned 32. 2 weeks ago, I remember I was downstairs and this new song that I haven't heard before just came on our Google Home. And it was a song that really stirred my heart. And I just started crying. And I was alone and I was listening to this song. And it really just stirred my spirit. The song was had a words said, "You've been so, so good to me." And that song ever since then has become one of my favorite songs. But I was able to really just enjoy the presence of God at that moment, encourage myself in God. I was just talking to someone in the hallway and saying how out of 7 days that we have in a week, I would probably say that I have at least one or two bad days. And she looked at me, she said, "Really? I think like you're the most, enthusiastic or, encouraging guy that I can ever talk to." I'm like, "Yeah, but we all have bad days." Sure. It doesn't mean that I don't have bad days. It doesn't mean that I'm not facing difficulties or going through things. One other mistake that people make is they isolate themselves. Now, David had no choice because everybody was against him. But we often have a choice. We have a choice to come to a fellowship of people that can encourage us. Yes. And the healing is here in a fellowship of believers where we can receive encouragement, where we can receive prayer, where we can receive strength from other people. That is so important. And I'm not saying that even people will say sometimes, "Well, go get counseling." I'm not saying the counselors are bad. Those are all good things. There's more people you have, better it is. But the solution really here is that you start with your own relationship with God and that you start with your own time with God. That's where everything starts. And that's where everything falls on. So that's the third thing that we can learn from this text. And number four, what David did, number four, is this. He inquired of the Lord. He wanted to hear from God about the direction, the vision, and the steps, next steps that he should take going forward. You see, when we're down and struggling, going through hard times, sometimes we don't realize, but the scripture that has been left to us is full of God's truths. Full of encouragement. It's as simple as having a conversation with God, which is the prayer, where we just say, "God, please speak to me. God, speak to me and help me see what my next steps are. Help me learn what is it that you want to teach me in this." And there's nothing more profound than when God speaks to you in your desperate moments, when you want to hear from God. I really believe that God, a lot of people don't do it, but if you really sit still and you decide to listen and hear from God, God will speak to you. I really believe that. And because we live in such a distracted world, because we live in such a crazy, fast-paced world, it's often hard for us to hear from God because we don't make time to hear from God. With all the cell phones going off and distractions, it's almost impossible nowadays to hear unless we become still and say, "God, please speak to me." You know, God will show you the road that you should take. There's another scripture in the Bible that says, "Those who earnestly seek me will find me." If you seek God earnestly, He will speak to you. Psalm 32, God promises to guide us. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you," says the Lord. What we often don't do is we don't make appointments with God. And just like with anything in life, if you don't make an appointment, it's not going to happen. Right? If you're going to get your hair done, I got to call my hair lady and say, I'm going to come this time, and she expects me to be there. Right? You're going to meet with the friend for a coffee. Say, this time I'll be there, and you show up. How many times we haven't heard from God because we haven't showed up? And our appointment that was supposed to happen becomes a disappointment. And when we don't have an appointment with God, we get disappointment in our life. So you have to remind yourself that every day you have to have an appointment with God so that you wouldn't get disappointed so easily. And more appointments you have with God, better it will be for you. Easier it will get to get through difficult things. On the worst day of your life, Jesus will be your best friend. Amen? And because David sought the Lord, and because he really pressed in, and he zeroed in, and he wanted to hear from God, and he would encourage himself in God, we see that everyone in this camp, all of these 600 men that were about to stone him and kill him, actually got a new perspective. Yes. They got a new vision. They got a new direction. And some of us are waiting for a new vision and direction, and we're waiting for to see where God is going to take us, but we're not willing to listen. We're not willing to hear where God wants to take us. And because David did this, all the blessings were restored and given back to David and all of the men, because they went and they pursued the enemy. See, we have to hold on to the unchanging word of God. We have to hold on the promises that God has given us in his word. And those promises are the only thing that keep us going forward, that keep us encouraged. And no matter what the situation is, we have to believe and know that God is in control, that it's all in his hands, and that he is there to help us in our darkest times, in our darkest days. And I want to encourage you to find your strength today in the Lord, to encourage yourself in the Lord. And if you need encouragement, you can talk to someone here. We're here to encourage you as well. See, there's a couple of scriptures I just want to speak over you. And here's the first one. Be strong and courageous. This is God speaking to Joshua. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. There's another scripture in Isaiah. Fear not, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Psalm 9:9, David, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Yes. And one of my favorites, Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you, and he will never permit the righteous to be moved. Those are some of the promises I just want to leave with you this morning, because we need to hear those things. We need to hear those things daily to keep us going and to keep us encouraged. So at this moment, I just want to ask you to stand. I want to pray for you as we close this service. If you can remember to encourage yourself in the Lord during those hard times that you will encounter, learning to govern your emotions and maintain your joy, then in the end, you will have a victory. You will have victory. This is the promise of God. So at this moment, I just want to pray for you for today, but also for all the days that are coming for the rest of this year, that God will be your strength in those hard times and hard days. I really believe the best is yet to come for all God's people, and God has a plan for all of us. So if you want to be included in this prayer, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word that encourages us. Thank you for the story of David, a mighty king. That when everything else was falling apart, he gave us an example of what we are to do. We encourage ourselves in you, Jesus. We encourage ourselves in your promises. Father, we want to be able to walk in your ways. And in our darkest moments, we want to be able to trust you and rely on you, Christ Jesus. Knowing that you work everything for good to those that love you and seek you. Jesus, speak to us. For those this morning that are going through really hard, difficult times, I pray that you would give them new hope, new encouragement, and that you would give them a new direction, a new vision for the future, Jesus. And Father, for those that are down, anxious, sad, I pray that you would lift them up with your Spirit. And I pray that you would encourage them right now in their inner soul. And I pray that you would speak to them, God. Speak to them your word of encouragement. And help them to see you clearly, Father. For it is all that it is you that we need, Christ. It is your presence that we need. And we seek you in this moment. We seek your guidance. We seek your wisdom. And we pray that you would help us remember this story when we face difficulties in life. That you are our encouragement. That you are our hope. And that all that we need is found in you, Christ Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week. And see you next time.